In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Mentally Yours from Ellen and Yvette. Focus on your mental health, you surely won't regret. It's mentally yours.
Hi everyone and welcome to Mentally Yours. My name's Yvette Caster and today I'll be chatting to Jodi Yaman. She's a psychotherapist and author and also a YouTuber, and she's based in New York. We're going to be chatting about children and anxiety and how parents can support their kids through these difficult times. Hi Jodi, thanks very much for joining me to chat on Mentally Yours. First of all, how have you been doing just generally during the pandemic?
Well, I think things have been up and down for me personally and for everyone around. You know, some days seem like everything's normal and then other days it's really in your face. So I think I'm just the same as everyone around. I think our young people are struggling the most and people who are isolated are really struggling a lot. So I'm lucky to have people around me in my house.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the main thing we're sort of chatting about. And I really appreciate you sort of taking the time to chat to me about that. It's about how young people are dealing with the pandemic and also how young people with anxiety are sort of dealing with it. What advice can you give to parents in terms of supporting children with anxiety, especially at the moment?
Well, yeah, especially now. You know, anxiety is one of those weird things because it has different objects. Like, so people are nervous about different things. And so the first thing to do when your child has anxiety or teenager, you want to know what specifically they're upset about. Like, what is the anxiety targeting telling you that this is a problem? Because sometimes you could just reassure them. Sometimes you could really look at something and analyze it and realize this is not something to worry about. And that could be quite helpful. That would be like the first step, because a lot of times you could get rid of some anxiety just in doing that.
What specific anxieties do young people have that are sort of different to adults?
Well, I think the younger people have more of the worry that people are judging them. I think as we grow up, we start to shed a little bit of that. I've heard that in your 40s and your 50s, you just really stop caring. So I'm looking forward to that time. But, you know, it's about, you know, when this is their time in their life that peers mean so much to them. So if there is any kind of exclusion or being left out or someone saying something, and usually they're all in this immature state trying to figure out who they are. And so the other people saying this stuff, it's really about them than about like your child. So when they're bullying or they're judging or they're saying this stuff, it's really about them. But your child, of course, because they care so much about what people think about them, are really taking that into their heart. So it's that's really the biggest anxiety. Like, what are people going to think about me? What are they looking at me? What are they judging about me? That's really skyrocketed, especially with social media. It's really skyrocketed.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on social media and how it's affected the mental health of young people?
Well, I did my TEDx Wilmington talk about this because I see that there's three different messages that being on social media brings us that makes us feel really out of control and then leads to anxiety. And one of them, which is the most obvious one that we all know about, is this comparison culture. You know, you're comparing your backstage mask to somebody else's highlight reel, and it's just not real. You know, they're filtered, they're edited, they only show you the good things. And so you think that everyone's doing all this great stuff. Now, ordinarily, we look around and everybody looks fine and normal and confident and happy because anxiety and low self-esteem are quite invisible. So when you're feeling it and you're looking around, you think everyone else is fine but you, but actually they're all struggling just like you are. It's just that you feel like you're the only one. And that feeling of difference really intensifies it. Makes you feel different, makes you feel wrong, makes you feel like, what's wrong with me? Why don't I belong? And humans want to belong so bad. And teenagers, they want to belong. I mean, that's like their foremost job right now, is to find people, to find peers to connect with. So that's what's been really hard about this pandemic, is the isolation that they're feeling, because this is the time they're supposed to be with their friends. So I didn't tell you about the other two. The second one is trauma that they see online. You know, on social media, they're getting all the news alerts, and so they're seeing horrible things and violent things happening, sometimes really far away, and that feels so random and out of control that you might be vulnerable too. And when you see that online, there's nothing you could do about it. So you feel helpless, and that increases the anxiety. And then the third reason social media is really in our face right now is it really interrupts our sense of worth by advertising. So the advertising is like, you're worthy just because, you know, you have to, it gets us to think that we should just get stuff. We're losing that cause and effect. We haven't learned that we have to do something to get something. And we think things happen randomly. With all three of these messages, actually, we think things happen randomly. And so kids are not in touch with their own skills and abilities. And that's increasing their depression, increasing their anxiety.
It does feel as well like the pandemic sort of really intensified, especially sort of the second thing you mentioned about sort of all the, you know, challenging things mm-hmm. going on in the world. So, I mean, especially, I mean, living in the sort of situation we are at the moment. And it's almost mm-hmm. like you can get caught in the cycle, can't you, of sort of thinking, well, I better check what's going on, but then getting really stressed about it, but then feeling like you can't stop looking at it.
It feels irreverent.
Yeah. What advice do you have for young people when it comes to social media, and also to parents?
Well, I think there should be some limits. You know, when teenagers are on it all day, a lot of times their mood goes down, their anxiety goes up, but they don't realize that connection. And so when they get off it for a little while and you question them, they've done studies about it, they feel better like within an hour, having an hour off, but they're on so much, they don't realize the difference. You know, they don't have that awareness to look at it and be like, why do you feel different right now? Oh, I haven't had my phone in an hour. But there is a startling difference when they have some separation from their phone, because they're not in their head doing that all. And they're actually learning to read life again. You know, online or on these devices, the world is like highly deciphered for you. Like, we're really influenced in how we read, because people are presenting it the way they want you to read it. But if we're in regular life, and we're walking down the street and looking around and people watching, we get to start to read the world, right? We're using our abilities of noticing to figure things out. And we're losing our touch with those skills, which are really, really important. Because once you realize you could read the world, you start to trust yourself a little bit more. And then anxiety really can't control you if you trust yourself. Like, anxiety is the opposite of trust, really.
Yeah, you're so right. I mean, it does feel like even now it feels like quite a sort of distorted world looking on social media. I mean, it feels like during the pandemic, people were doing less of the fancy posts, sort of saying, you know, my life's so perfect, because we all knew that it wasn't perfect, really. But you still get that kind of comparison and that sort of intensity of experience. I mean, you sort of got this weird experience at one point, didn't you, with people were most competing with the things that they were doing in lockdown and showing off, you know, the new hobbies that they'd picked up, right, or whatever.
Exactly. But then once we opened up a little bit in the US, I think it might be different in the UK, but I'm in the US. And so once we started to open up a little bit, the peers were getting together, like teenagers were getting together. Some families were stricter than other families because of compromises within that family, health compromises. And so some teens were getting together and showing on social media, being together with each other. And so kids were feeling really left out. I mean, they were all after shelter in place for so long, they really were longing for time with their friends. And then once they saw their people getting together, so it's really difficult. I think the U.S. is a little bit unique in that is that everybody thinks about this really differently, and it's kind of a bizarre situation. So so if you're a teenager and one parent is like, this is not even true, and then the other family is like, we have to be careful, grandma lives with us, then the kids are like, they lose out, you know?
Yeah. What advice do you have for parents in terms of supporting their children sort of through this difficult time?
I think a constant check-in is really important right now. You don't want your child to be in their room very long. Isolation is not good for the human mind. And so we want them out and engaging with us. Some people are in hybrid schools and some people are 100% online all over the place, all over the world. So I don't know what situation you're in, but either way, they're home more. And so spending time together, we need person-to-person contact. So our teens, our tweens, our kids, they need to be around people. And they need a sense of novelty too. So we need routine and we need novelty. They sound like the opposite, but they're not really, because novelty is like something new in the week. It could just be one thing, one day a week, you try to bring something new that you haven't done or you haven't done recently into the week. And a lot of times in lockdown, yeah, people were making stuff or creating things. That was our mind's need for novelty. And if we don't have that, we start to shrivel up a little bit and our bandwidth gets smaller. We start to really get depressed. We need to invigorate and charge our mind up. So we need a sense of novelty. So that's something that the parents could always keep an eye on, trying to help the kids get creative and do something that makes them feel like they have a sense of purpose.
Mm. What advice do you have for parents also, just in terms of having these sort of new conversations? I mean, because I imagine sometimes it might be difficult for parents if their child sort of really seems hooked on social media, and you can kind of understand why, because if that's how they've been sort of keeping in touch with friends, they might sort of not really want to put sort of the phone down. How do they approach those sort of conversations?
I think it has to be gradual. So if there's no rules at all, and then go to, you have 2 hours a day on screen time, and then that is too drastic. And so you might have to go the opposite. You might have to be like, let's do a half hour a day to walk outside together, or something, or you have to do this to earn this, walk outside for a half hour with no phone. And some parents are like, I don't want them to do that. What if something happens? They need their phone. But what happened in the 80s when we walked around with no phone around the neighborhood? So having a little bit of time without the phone would be a way. You were going to do it gradually, a little bit of time here, a little bit of time there, and getting them involved in doing something, some kind of creative activity that they don't need their phone for, would be a way to consistently grow that time away from their phone. We're not going to have our kids get rid of their phone altogether. And we're not going to have, you know, it's not going to be drastic, because this is the world we're living in right now. And with the social distancing, they do, even when they're in school 2 days, nobody could talk to each other. Everybody's so far apart. So they really do need some social time. So yeah, at this point, I mean, I used to coach parents about how to get their phone away from their teen, and now everything's really different.
So what advice do you have for parents themselves? Because this is such a stressful time we're living in, really, for everyone, really, aren't we? Sort of right across the age groups. What about sort of for parents who are sort of maybe struggling with their own mental health? What advice would you give them in terms of, I don't know, whether sort of, do you think they should kind of try to shield the children from how they're feeding, or like how should they approach it?
Oh, that's a good idea. I think that we're all responding to this. This is huge for everybody. And so normalizing that feeling is okay. So it's okay to have your kids say, like, I'm struggling. This is weird. I miss my friends. I miss all of this. So you could normalize that that's okay for them to feel too. But if you're so distressed and feel out of control, that could obviously spark fear in your kids. And so that's where the line gets drawn. It's like, yes, I feel really bad, but this is what we're going to do about it. That's how you would approach the kids as parents. Yes, when I feel bad, this is human to feel bad. And when I feel bad, this is what I do. And so if they see you, you're actually modeling for them what to do. That would be great. So it's, you don't have to keep all of the emotions away from your kids, but at least use it as teaching if you can. Or if you say, I just need a little break, it's really good for me if I have a little break. That helps me recharge. It's good for all people to have a break. It helps me reach, helps all people recharge. And then it normalizes it and doesn't create fear in the kids. Like, even my mom's out of control. Now who's taking care of me? That would be too upsetting. But we're human. You have to really be kind to yourself and your humanity and get support. Even you, like, even parents, if they're isolated, it is too hard of a job right now to be isolated. You need to make some connections to give yourself some support. Mutual support is obviously great, but if you need to get support from a professional, that is really okay right now. There's so many people available and ready to help.
You're a mom yourself, that's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how have you found sort of the family side of things during the pandemic?
Well, my youngest is 16, actually. So she's been up and down, really a lot of work. I mean, her school is really piling on a lot of work. And so sometimes she's doing well, and sometimes it's like you had it. And I really feel like that's exactly what I would expect anyone to feel right now. And I'm lucky I know that, because as a psychotherapist, I work with all my clients and I understand this is what they're all going through. But I don't get alarmed by it. I'm like, okay, of course we're going to have days like this. And then we put something in place. We have something to look forward to. Actually, we've been using this technique since she was little, that, you know, when you're really upset or when you're going through a really hard time, sometimes it's good to have some kind of touchstone to look forward to in the future, just to kind of get your mind off it or have some faith or hope that you could get through it. And that's actually really helped her get through this time. My boys are older and they just wanted to play board games. And of course, they were bored and isolated, but it was nice to have all five of us home, actually. At least we had people.
How have you found things sort of in terms of your work? So you've got a really interesting career. You're obviously a therapist, but you're also a YouTuber and an author, and you've done the TEDx talks. How have you sort of managed everything?
Well, I've been working way, way too much, but I do have that big capacity. Like, I do a lot of self-care. And in this pandemic, I really increased my self-care rituals so that I could have more bandwidth. And now, in fact, I'm really teaching a lot. I'm in my videos online. I'm really teaching emotional resilience and emotional bandwidth, because I saw myself go through the process with these really practical tools, how to really sink in and feel supported, even if you're in this crazy time and it feels so uncertain and unsupported, how to do these self-care things that really help you get support from the field, from the energy field. Because as empaths and sensitive people, we're all pretty sensitive and we take on all that negative energy. And so people are increasingly shriveled up in their emotional capacity to handle one more thing. And so now I think I feel like it's my job. I feel like I'm made for this time. It's my job to really spread the word. Okay, we need to increase our emotional bandwidth because this is getting a lot, and this is how you do it. And so that's been, it's been really rewarding practicing those things myself, seeing the results, and then sharing that with other people to help them get through it.
Sure. Do you mind sharing with our listeners just a few sort of your kind of key tips in terms of self-care and also working towards building resilience.
The resilience stuff, I started to notice that on lockdown, what our brains need, you know, you just think about what are the basics your brains need, your mind. And the basics is routine, getting back to a sense of routine because we lost it in March. And so creating it for ourselves, that routine, it's going to sleep the same time, waking up, eating, doing exercise each day, those kind of things, getting good sleep. That was important. And then having a sense of purpose, like having something in your day to have give it meaning. Because when people had nothing going on, they just are on tether. They don't feel very good. They don't feel their sense of worth just plummets. And then I also mentioned the novelty. Having a little bit of novelty gives you something to look forward to. It gives you something to charge your mind up. If it doesn't have something interesting or something to learn or something new to experience once in a while, it'll go into the negative thinking because our brain has so much capacity to do so much problem solving and figuring stuff out and all this. And so when we don't have that, it will just kind of create problems. That's where anxiety. That's a lot of the reason why anxiety grows is because there's nothing to do. And so our brain creates something. And so if we have that novelty and that sense of purpose that helps in routine, it helps that the routine settles the mind. And always having something creative. So always having something you're doing creative, this goes along with the novelty and the purpose actually, but it also is like you're using that prefrontal cortex. And when you use it, it develops and it makes you more robust as a person mentally and emotionally. And lastly, some sense of community. We cannot be isolated. That just doesn't work for our minds. It doesn't work to be isolated. It just, you tend to go into a negative spiral really quickly when you're isolated. And the more you're isolated, that more that happens. And it's hard to get someone out. You know, when I meet somebody in therapy and they're like, I don't even care if I get better. I don't think I'll get better. I really don't care if I do or not. I'm just, if I talk to someone like that, I know that's not just a lot of depression. That means that person's been so isolated that their neuropeptides haven't, their neurotransmitters haven't released. Like there's no dopamine, that they haven't had anything interesting happen because they're so isolated that they don't care if they ever see something interesting again. And that's a problem from isolation, not from too much depression. So the depression makes you isolated and the isolation causes that symptom. And so if they get out and doing something, then the dopamine starts triggering again and then they want to get better.
I think that's such a good reminder to people at the moment as well, because it feels like it's been such a balance over the past few months in terms of, you know, being safe, staying safe, you know, following our government's guidelines, but also trying to look after our mental health. Just finally, do you have any sort of final advice or tips, particularly sort of for parents sort of worried about their young people and sort of their mental health over the pandemic?
I think model having faith. Model having hope. They need that hope. And so do you. Like this is, we could get through this. You know, humans have been through worse on this earth, through much worse times. And so it does seem a little bit doom and gloom, especially early on. It was like, how are we ever going to, and now, because it's been so long. But if you keep that faith, it'll help you. It'll help them. It's like, okay, this is what we're made for. We are problem solvers. Human beings, our brain has evolved to problem solve, and we will figure this out and we will get through it. So if you have that faith, if you work on that faith in yourself, you will spread it. It'll be contagious to your kids and it will really, really help them and trust themselves too.
Thanks, Jodie. I love that. That's a really great way to finish it, I think. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
No, I'm so excited about it. If anyone wants to talk to me or watch my videos, my website's jodieaman.com, jodieaman.com.
This is goodbye from mentally yours. So go away, enjoy your day, get on with all your chores from mentally yours.
If you've been affected by any of the issues we've discussed today, please contact the Samaritans on 116 123 or go to their website at samaritans.org.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a rate or review. 5 stars would be lovely.
Also, if you've enjoyed this, come and have a chat to us on Facebook. We've got a group called Mentally Yours. Also, we have a Twitter, which is Mentally YRS. See you next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.